Welcome to the Lifecast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You will hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast.
You know, here's proof that he's just good. There's so many testimonies, but here's the proof that God is good. He didn't leave you. He knows you, and he's still staying with you. Right? He knows me, and he's still sticking with me. Even with our flaws and our obstinance at times, or our slow to learn, and we speak too quickly, and all the different things, he's staying with you. He loves you. He's faithful. All right? He's faithful. He's not like some of the people in this life who just, they bail, they walk out, whatever it is. But the other part is, you know, we've been difficult to live with. Right? So there's responsibility for us to change when he does good things in our life. And as he does good things, it's supposed to help change us, not just cover our tracks, and then we keep doing the same thing. Right? We got to be responsible in our faith. Okay, that was sermon one. Now to the main text. Actually, it kind of fits. I want you to recall, and if you haven't, it's just because you're not familiar with the Bible, and that's okay. Just, you're going to have to piece some things together, and that's all right, okay? If you've watched the movie The Ten Commandments, you'll understand some of this, okay? I'm not going to ask if you've seen The Ten Commandments. I'm going to give you time between now and Easter to get your homework done. Yeah. So here's the setting. God's people are in Egypt. Now, they're not from Egypt. They are in Egypt, and they are slaves to the Egyptians, to the Pharaoh. They live there. They're praying, oh God, send a deliverer, right? Wouldn't you? Yeah. Send a deliverer, rescuer. Somebody to get us out of this slavery. We want to be free to worship you. We want to be free to go live in our own place, in our own country, our the own location. Lord, we want to build the tabernacles to you. We want to, you know, all of these things. God, send somebody to rescue us. We are in slavery. Well, God sends somebody. Who's he send? Those of you who said Moses, say it again. Moses. Those of you who didn't say Moses the first time, say it now. Moses. Moses. Yeah. He sends Moses. Interesting thing is, when you look in Exodus 2, Moses, they rejected him. Now, here's the thing. They're in slavery, and God sends a deliverer who, you know, they've been waiting for one. And then when the deliverer, the leader, shows up, they reject him. Now, granted, Moses, you know, wasn't perfect, didn't do everything perfect right away. But the reality is that God sends a deliverer, and they reject him. Well, it just carries on. Through the Old Testament, you will see God's people, they continue to reject the messengers that God sends to them. I mean, you can look at the prophets, okay? You can talk about Samuel, Elijah, Elisha, Zephaniah, Zechariah, Hosea, Jeremiah. Did I say Isaiah? Okay, they rejected him more than once. You'll see this in the New Testament. They're God's people. So listen, we keep sending messengers. Jesus says this on one occasion, Matthew 23. He says, Israel, you kill the prophets and you stone those we send to you. God sends to you. And the only thing I wanted to do is to, like a hen spreads her wings over her chicks to cover them and bring them in. That's all we've wanted to do. And you continue to reject those we send. Look at Jesus. Now, he wasn't just another prophet. I mean, we discover he's prophet, priest, and king. He holds all offices. But now the Father isn't sending servants. The Father is sending his own Son. Now the Son carries the authority of the Father. And you will see they reject Jesus time and time again. You go back to this time where God's people were in slavery in Egypt. Now listen, in Romans chapter 6 and in Romans chapter 8, you will find what the Apostle Paul writes about concerning slavery. He says this, if you are a slave to doing what's evil, then evil is your master. If you do what's right, then you are a slave to righteousness. It's whoever you obey, you are a slave to, because it masters over us. You see, when you make a choice, I make a choice to do what's right or to do what's wrong, or we try to justify it looking right, but really it's our own agenda, and we work out this argument that sounds good in our mind, and so we want to follow our own plan. I mean, God sees through all of that. But you and I become a slave to the one we obey. You say this, I'm a slave either way. But when we are a slave to what is right, to righteousness, we have been set free from being a slave to what is evil, which produces death. Instead, we have been given life. See, who the Son sets free is free indeed. And when you come to faith in Christ, you and I are no longer a slave to our former master of what is evil. We now are a slave to righteousness and obedience and right living. Do we trip and stumble at times? Yeah, we got to crucify the old man, right? Right? You still doing that? Oh, two of you. Well, I got news for you. Yeah. So this idea and understanding is a foreshadowing. Listen to this. It's a foreshadowing of what's to come. It's telling a future story. Moses shows up, and God's people who are looking for a deliverer reject him. That is telling a story of what's to come. That when Jesus comes, he is going to be rejected. However, that was his first coming. There wasn't a lot of pomp. There wasn't a lot of circumstance. I mean, his coming was very humble, right? Very humble. Somewhat secret. However, it stirred up all of Jerusalem and the surrounding area. And it bothered this Herod who was ruling and reigning. And yet a baby's born. And it totally tore him up. It wasn't a lot of pomp, wasn't a lot of circumstance. The interesting thing is, catch this, God's people were looking for a deliverer. Because even though they lived in Jerusalem and other Jewish areas, they were living under Roman rule. So once again, God's people are there saying, send us a deliverer. Help us out. We want to live different. We want to live free. We want to be free to worship you, to honor you, to glorify you. All of the things that they felt called to do out of their laws and relationship with God. Once again, they weren't free. They felt like slaves to Roman rule. They had measures of freedom to operate, but any moment it could change because the Romans could march in. Romans were always present. They were always around. They're making sure things were done according to the way they wanted them done. And God's people, they're just looking for a deliverer. Jesus came, and they didn't recognize him. Many rejected him as the Christ, the Messiah, the Savior, the Deliverer that was going to bring freedom to them. They didn't recognize him. They listened to him. They heard him. They weren't so sure. Many believed. The religious leaders, now you would think, if there was a Deliverer who was going to come for God's people, surely the leadership would know. They'd recognize. But they had a problem. A lot of problems with Jesus. One of the biggest problems that they had with Jesus was that he came and he spoke to the poor and the needy and the broken, the hurting, the bruised, the outcasts, the ones with the past, the ones who didn't have anything. He came and he spoke to them. After all, they were a slave to all of these things in their life, in their heart, in their community. But Jesus came and he spoke to them and they believed. They received him, and it brought liberty to them. It didn't remove the Romans from their life, but it removed the real master. You see, if you're a citizen of the United States, this government of ours, it makes laws and policies and all those things that we're supposed to live by, but those things are never going to bring you liberty. It's not going to free you from your sin. Those things aren't going to free you from your cyclical habits, the things that we sometimes destroy ourselves with. Not going to do that. See, Jesus came to set the person free from our past, from the things in our present. And the poor, they recognize. The religious leaders, some of the elites, those that controlled the community to some degree, they rejected him. Part of why it bothered the leadership so much is because they weren't doing what they were supposed to. And Jesus came and had compassion on them. And it bothered them. See, he was a deliverer, Jesus. You know, in Matthew, Acts, and Mark, it says this about Jesus. He is the stone that the builders rejected, and he became the capstone or the cornerstone. The cornerstone. Now, do you know what a cornerstone is? The cornerstone is related to when you start to put up a structure. That first stone that you set is really important because at that point, it is going to determine how sturdy and how safe and how well the structure is built. Because every stone after that cornerstone, every other stone makes its reference to the cornerstone. You ever work on a project? I've worked on different projects, and I'm not a block layer. I don't really work with brick. put out a few paving stones or little retaining walls, but that's about it. But what I have built is, over the years at different places, I have built what you'd call a garden box. It's where you take those timber rails, right, and you start to lay them out. Now, I've gone by people's houses, and I hope this isn't your house. Don't be offended by it. You do it how you want. It's your house. But I've watched those who laid these on the grass, on the dirt, and they continue to build. And when you drive by, their garden box goes with the landscape. If you built that at your place, I just want you to walk out to the road and go back and look at that. See, the first piece of lumber that I lay, which would be like a cornerstone, I've got to take a mattock and dig down into the dirt. In some spots, I have to go deeper than others because I want it to be level, right? I want it to be level. You know, I already drilled the holes. I'm going to run the rebar down. I'm going to do all this. But that first one is really important because everything that I lay from there and stack from there and go around the corner and that's going to affect the other side has everything to do with that first piece. And that's the stone that the builders or the husbandmen or those of Israel, they rejected. And Jesus is the cornerstone, that every stone laid after that, every person is in reference to Jesus. And they rejected him. They didn't recognize him. Well, there's a day coming. Read this to you. In Revelation. Then I saw heaven opened, John writes. And behold, a white horse! Exclamation point. I'm not just yelling. And behold, a white horse! The one sitting on it is called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes are like a flame of fire, and on his head are many diadems. And he has a name written that no one knows but himself. He is clothed in a robe dipped in blood, and the name by which he is called is the Word of God. The armies of heaven, arrayed in fine linen, white and pure, were following him on the white horse, and they were on white horses. From his mouth comes a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations, and he will rule them with a rod of iron. He will tread the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God the Almighty. On his robe and on his thigh he has a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. This is no humble arrival. They won't, when that happens, it's too late. You're going to recognize him then. We're going to recognize him then. Everyone will know who he is. You see, every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Not just God's people. Everyone. You won't have to argue. You won't have to convince. When he shows up this time, you're going to recognize, people will recognize. They won't reject that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. They'll have to admit it. But then it's not by faith. It's by what they see. It's interesting when you look back in history, ancient times, when God sends deliverers and sends prophets and deliverers and servants of his and sends his own son. They reject him. And Malachi writes chapter 3, it says, who can abide or stand at the coming of the Lord? Future. But this is, but between now and then, this is where we live. We see the history. We are foretold a future. Here's the question. If God were to break into this room, would we recognize him? You see, it's easy for us to sit back here and have, you know, more perfect knowledge when we look at history. Because we know that Jesus came, we know about the cross, we know about the resurrection, we know about the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. We know about the ascension of Christ. He's at the right hand of God, making intercession for us, working on our behalf. You see, we know all that. So when we look at history and we think, man, how could they not recognize Moses? How come they didn't listen to Samuel? How could they reject Isaiah when he prophesied about the coming deliverer? How could it be in the New Testament Jesus shows up, speaks words of life, heals the sick, teaches principles, shows compassion on the broken and the hurting and those with the dark past, and becomes a friend to them even on the day of Sabbath? Because the law of the Sabbath is really this. It's not about the stuff he can't do. It's about the stuff we're empowered to do that is good. So, how is it that he could come with such grace and truth and they still didn't recognize him? They rejected him. What makes us so much smarter or better? I mean, we've maybe come to faith in Christ, but if God shows up in this room, are you going to receive him or are you going to reject him? When God begins to do things in this room that are outside of your box or what you're used to or what you're familiar with or what you are comfortable with, will you gauge it based on your comfort or are you going to gauge it upon the reality of God showing up in the room? Will you reject him? Hey, listen. It's a legitimate question for all of us. I'm not beating anybody up here. I'm not condemning anybody. But it's to get to us to a greater truth. I mean, in the moments and private moments of your life where you have an option, you have a choice. Do you obey God and do what's right in private? Do you obey God and his spirit and his word and what you know to be right and the conviction he sets in your heart? Maybe when there's a smaller audience or, you know, because here's the reality. If you and I are not recognizing him and honoring him here, what makes us think that we'll honor him when he makes a marvelous and obvious grand entrance into this place and does marvelous and wonderful things? A revival or spiritual awakening or an outpouring. And in the midst of it, something might show up that is legitimately out of order, and then we want to throw everything out. It can't be God. Well, that's not true. Humanity shows up. They make mistakes. Will we recognize him? I'd like to think I'd say, yes, you know, I'd recognize the move of God. It's a crazy little thing that some of those who, in church history, who were part of great outpourings of God, they were like, you know, the generals, the lieutenants, the majors of God's move. They were used dynamically. And sometime after, 10 years, 20 years, maybe a few years, somewhere, God was doing something different than what he did before when he used them. And they sit and they look at the new outpouring, the new spiritual awakening, and they said, that's not God. When it was God. The experts, they missed it. Some condemned revivals that were legitimately God-given, spirit-moved revivals in history. And now you had some of the forefathers condemning the present. How did they miss it? You see, it's those things that create a little bit of humility in me if I let it, if you let it. Will we recognize him when he walks and breaks into our life? And some of you maybe don't have a relationship with God, and you're going through a tough time or whatever else, and you're thinking, where's God, where's God? And the whole time God's trying to break into your hard, difficult, miserable, challenging, overwhelming, etc. circumstance in life. You're looking for a deliverer, and he's saying, hey, I'm here. It's me, the one who died on the cross. That old message you've heard. Don't you recognize him? Don't you see him? You see, that's the challenge. One of the challenges for you and I. Will we recognize God showing up in our private life somewhere? We're so busy looking at the circumstance. We're so busy looking at what we're comfortable with. We're not looking at the purity of his word and how he shows up and what he will do. We're just so focused on our pain and our misfortune and the injustice and this and that. And we just, you know, that we can't, we pray and hope for a deliverer, but when God shows up and he's knocking on the door and he's trying to break in, we don't recognize him. I want to recognize him. I want to recognize him for who he is. I want to recognize his work among us and the things he will do by his Spirit in people's life and in mine. We need to be wise and we need to be discerning, but I'm telling you, we better recognize him. And don't just think because you're doing spiritually well or you sing the loudest or you prophesy once in a while or you give money and you obey the Lord in your tithes and offerings, and just because we do some of these things, don't think for a moment that you got a corner on recognizing Jesus when he shows up in the room, because history would warn us of how humanity does not recognize and rejects him. Even his own people. Church history does the same. I don't want to repeat that in my life. I want my kids to recognize, and my grandkids and my great-grandkids to come of Jesus Soteria, my great-great-grandkids and my great-great-great-grandkids. See, I'm going to live a long time. Where's he trying to break into your life? Because he usually shows up where there's a mess, where we need a deliverer, where we need help. But we are so consumed with what's going on that we don't recognize him. I want him to open our eyes and open our ears and open our hearts. You see, Moses showed up and sent the deliverer because they were in slavery. The prophets continually were being sent because God's people were in spiritual trouble. But they just looked at the physical things and the wars and the things that were going on and the famines and all of this. That they didn't recognize and listen to the prophets. Jesus shows up. They were too comfortable in their ways to recognize him. You're trying to build and do something, and Jesus is not the cornerstone of what you're wanting to do. I want you to know it might look pretty, but it will fail. And you might make some money at it, and you might do this, and people might awe at it, but I'm telling you, when he sets a flame to it, it's going to burn. You got stuff going on in your life and Jesus is showing up. You're thinking, why are things so bad? Doesn't God care? I'm telling you, he shows up where the mess is. He left where it was clean and perfect and came because his Father sent him. And he took on human likeness. He came, but things are a mess. If you're going through something, I want to remind you, Jesus is there somewhere because it's a mess. And it's hard to manage. And maybe it's an internal thing. I want you to know. I want you to look. I want you to... Does it smell like the Lord because He is good in the middle of this mess? Something's showing up. Something's happening. There's a fragrance of God here somewhere. Everything looks opposite. Everything feels opposite. But then you remember a song you sang on Sunday. Great is your faithfulness to me. Not based on your righteousness. It's based on His righteousness. It's based on His faithfulness. Don't you recognize Him? You're looking for Him out there somewhere. Send the deliverer. And He's right there. You and I had better open our eyes so that we can see. We're going into the fire. We're going into the fire. And they weren't burned. And when the onlookers looked, they saw forth. Because there were three of them in there, right? Fiery furnace. They saw forth. You will go through the fire and you will not be burned. They came out, they didn't even smell like smoke. He covers every detail. You're facing something, look for Him. Quit looking at everything that's going on and look for Him. He shows up where the mess is. Would you stand to your feet, please? You know, as many have said, you know, Lord, I decided to follow You, and things got harder. I'm already in a mess, and I'm calling out to You and trying to recognize You here, but things just keep getting worse. You know, down in part of our unfinished basement, or no, it's not a basement, it's the lower level of our house. It was a two-level house, it's a walkout. And part of that basement is unfinished. And it became a collect-all for a lot of stuff that, well, frankly, we don't need, and stuff that we do need, or things that are seasonal. So, Sue was set to organize this. I got to organize that. And she'd try a little here, a little there. There was just, couldn't put anything anywhere. So, when she went out of town to visit her daughter, she came back to part of that basement. I built a wall. And I put in shelving. Not shelving. Shelving. She came back. And she cried. Because she was happy to be home and she started going through stuff, getting rid of stuff, reorganizing stuff, cleaning stuff, starting to store stuff. And I want you to know, as she started, it got worse. It looked worse. We thought it was, you know, unorganized and messy before. Oh no, she started to get into it. It got worse. Because there was unpacking of stuff, and there's broken stuff, and there's this stuff, and guess what I found? I was like, oh, it's been gone so long, I didn't know we even had that. You know, that's the kind of thing. Got worse. And then it got better. 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 And it keeps getting better. She's not completely done yet, right? Right? Because there's still a few things, you know. I walked down with the eye of scrutiny. But I built it. I'm done. You take care of all that other mess. Terrible man I am. Listen. You come to faith and you start to look for God in your mess. It doesn't just always go poof. Sometimes it does. It does. The sea parted. Boom. Got a little messier before then. They were being pursued after they were set free. You know the story of Egypt. Listen. Don't think, well, I prayed yesterday and I tried for a week and I even, you know, I tithed this week and I went to church and I even volunteered and I even did a table at the food fair and that cost me money. And how come things aren't getting better? Because it's not based on your work. It is based upon your faith and your cooperation and obedience to Him. Listen, He shows up in your mess. And He's there to help you with it. And He's going to direct you, but you're going to have to do some of the lifting out of obedience to Him. Right? It's like, God, deliver me. Hallelujah. You got me out, but now I'm going to go back to live my own life. Oh, why aren't you helping me? Well, that doesn't work. It's about following Him. It's about seeing His faithfulness. It's waiting on Him. It's serving Him. It's pausing. It's not getting ahead. It's instead of complaining, it's turning into, you are faithful to me. You are faithful to me. You are faithful. You're faithful. Your faithfulness, Lord. Not, this has gone wrong and that's gone wrong and it ain't worth it. And I don't know why I'm calling you and you're not helping. Everybody else is blessed except me. And now you're sounding like God's people when they were on their way to the promised land. They packed it all up. What'd they expect? To be there in 10 minutes? He's faithful. And He shows up where the mess is. But I want us to recognize Him when He's showing up in our life there, in our life in other places, and in our family, and in a service. It's interesting. I've watched people over the years because I've had the kindness of the Lord to allow me to be a part of different revivals and seasons of revival in my life and where I was on staff and where I pastored before. It's amazing that in the middle of that, how messy things get. But it's His move by His Spirit. I've watched people leave a church because of revival, because they just could not recognize Him and accept it. Watched it. I've seen it. Will we recognize Him? Do you recognize Him in your mess right now? Look for Him. He's there. I'm telling you, He's there. It's what draws Him. It's where we recognize His faithfulness. It's where we develop a testimony of God's glory and goodness. open your eyes that you might see.
Thanks for joining us on the LifeCast. It is a ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.